1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. FAA reporting that there are some cracks in some wires. Let me just see this. That an Alaska Airlines MD-80 landed at Portland International Airport in Portland, Oregon on February the 10th. Damaged wire insulation has led to fires and electrical equipment failures for years in military and commercial aircraft. What has that got to do with this American Airlines MDA landing at Portland Airport? Maybe that was why it landed. I don't know. But at any event, excuse me, a new report was put together by an FAA, excuse me, an FAA task force that hired electrical engineers to test wiring on six jets, each at least 20 years old. And some of these old wiring jobs could have led to some problems with some planes coming down, some fatalities, some plane crashes. Art Griego is a former commercial pilot. He's now a private pilot in Santa Monica, joining us on our newsmaker line. Art, they say that a lot of aging aircraft has to do with these plane crashes that we've seen of late.
Well, aging aircraft is a consideration, but there's nothing in the literature that would indicate that this is causing aircraft disaster.
In what literature?
In a lot of the periodical literature and in the official reports that I see from different aviation aeronautic agencies, there's nothing that would indicate that this would cause an aircraft disaster.
So what is the FAA doing then?
Well, I think the FAA spends millions of dollars on these studies to throw to the American people because they're too afraid to speak the truth for fear that passenger service is going to dwindle.
Well, if they know what the truth is, and it's not about aircraft wiring, then they should tell us, right?
Well, Phil, let me tell you a story.
What is causing it? If it's not aircraft wiring, is it pilot error? Is it are the planes too new, or what?
Phil, let me just tell you a little story, Phil. And it's about a little something called a seatbelt light. And I want to tell you this story because I used to be a commercial pilot, and I flew small jets. Flew a 737, but I also flew small commuter jets. And once upon a time, there was a thing called a seatbelt light. And there was a time when people used to honor the seatbelt light. I was a commercial pilot. I flew short ops along the West Coast.
All right, I know that...
Now, you may have heard this, but your listeners haven't heard it.
Okay.
I was flying a group of real stuck-up, real snotty, nose-in-the-air business types. And I got to tell you, I can feel myself getting angry thinking about this.
You were flying a charter?
This was a charter. And they thought that they were better than me. And I could tell that, and I could sense that. They thought that they knew more than I did. So anyway, make a long story short, we landed up there at Sacramento. And sure enough, just like I knew they would, they unbuckled and they stood up before I turned off the seatbelt sign.
How do you know this?
Because I had a flight attendant by the name of Janine, and I told her, you give me that old shave and a haircut two-bits knock when you see those guys stand up. And
Whoa, hold on for a minute. You have a flight attendant standing outside the cockpit door.
Right.
And what is a shave and a haircut two-bits?
You never heard it?
No.
He goes, shave and a haircut two-bits.
You mean the bump, 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 bump?
Right.
That's shave and a...
Shave and a haircut two-bits. Shave and a haircut two-bits. Okay, give me that knock when you see them stand up. And so if these snotty guys stand up, and I call them these snotty blankety blanks, it was a dirty word, I don't want to use it, before I turn off the seatbelt sign, give me that.
And then what?
Then I goes, bup, 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 bup. And as soon as you do that, hang on to something, because I'm going to hit the brakes. And I'm going to tell you something, Phil. It was absolutely hysterical. I mean, there were guys in first class. Two of these guys...
Wait a second. What are we talking about here, man? You're talking about when you were flying and people...
I am telling you, Phil, that the number one cause of fatality in air disasters and air crashes are these smart-aleck people who stand up before I turn the seatbelt light off, who want to get something out of their overhead. We had a very, very tragic accident. Okay. Over here off of Malibu, you remember the Alaska Airlines jet?
Yes, I do.
Okay. You know that most of those people died because even though that plane was going down at an almost 90-degree angle, they wanted to get up and look and see if they had makeup. They were going...
Oh, come on, Art.
I'm telling you the truth. That plane was no more than 20 feet off the Pacific Ocean before it impacted and exploded on impact. and there were people in the overhead bin, and they were standing up using the can, and all of that stuff.
You're telling me that 20 yards off the Pacific Ocean, the Alaska Airlines jet...
Yes, I am.
...that people were already, were still standing up?
You're still standing up. Now, I am telling you, they had an air emergency, the likes of which I hope I'm never involved in.
I hope none of us are.
Absolutely. And I'm sure at that point, the flight attendant, the pilot, had told them, get in your seats, put your heads down between your legs, get in and brace in an impact position, and make sure those seatbelts are on. And I will tell you right now, Phil, because I know aircraft passengers, those idiots were probably standing up, looking in the overhead bin, wanting, can I get another drink? Can I get a...
Oh, come on.
I've seen this happen. There were at least three or four people in line for the lavatory when that thing hit the Pacific Ocean off of Malibu. Standing at...
You're telling me that...
You've got to listen to me because I've been up...
No, wait. You're telling me that before that Alaska Airlines jet hit the Pacific Ocean, going at speeds, how fast?
That thing had to be approaching Mach 1. I mean, they get going fast.
Okay. It's approaching Mach 1. It is in a direct descent into the ocean, and there's three people standing in line for the can.
Oh, they're getting up. And they're looking in the overhead bin for their book. It's unbelievable. I'm going to tell you this, and you got to hear me.
That is unbelievable.
I'm going to tell you this, you got to hear me. Most people who die in air crashes die in those air crashes because they got out of their seat, they're looking for a book, they're looking for a newspaper, or when the flight attendant says, we have an air emergency, or we have hip turbulence, you have to go back to your seat, they're running around and they're running into each other, knocking themselves unconscious, running into each other, and that's another way that they die. They never make it to their seat.
Well, where did you hear that? I mean, that...
Well, that was there was a Curtis Air jet that went off the coast of Florida. They lost about 20 people, and four of the people, in a panic trying to get back to the seat, ran into each other, knocked each other out, headbutted each other, knocked each other out. Because the flight attendant said, get back to your seat. Oh, geez, where do I go? Wow, who? I mean, it's embarrassing. And I will tell you that a lot of these people, they're going through their purses. Now, we have done tests and studies, and we've talked to a few people. And believe it or not, Phil, and this is the craziest thing about this, a lot of people, knowing that they're about to see the face of God, want to put makeup on. And they want to...
Come on. You know, Art, I am...
Phil, I'm telling you the truth. I don't know whether it is some kind of a psychosis, but they realize they're going to die. They realize they're about to touch the face of the Almighty. Well, I better put on some lip gloss. Better get my hair...
So they're combing their hair in case they see Jesus?
Pretty much. Some of them stand up too quickly and they hit their heads in the overhead compartment. All kinds of things. This is why I am... They want to look nice for God. And I guess... I can't blame them.
Oh, well, to me, this is looking nice for God is one thing, all right? That's insanity. But people who are running around and bumping into each other...
Yeah, absolutely, and it happens all the time. The number one reason why people are dying in air disasters, Phil, and I say this as a pilot, is because they don't stay seated in their seatbelts when I tell them to. And those guys that get up just before I hit the gate and I haven't turned the seatbelt sign off, and
they really make you angry, don't they?
Yes, they do. They tighten my jaws. And I tell you something, when I was flying as a pilot, and I ever even heard about somebody standing up and getting out of their belt before I had stopped the jet at the gate, I'd goose it.
Did anybody get hurt?
I don't know. I never found out about it because I would say to them, well, you know, I had a problem. I had to get to the gate. I stopped short. And why were they standing up anyway? See, if you have a seatbelt light that's lit and you take your belt off, you're liable.
Airline doesn't have to pay.
Airline doesn't have to pay, no. It's a beautiful thing, and
You sound like you almost enjoy the fact that people stand up, even though the seatbelt light is on, so you can gun the engine a little bit and make them...
Well, there's two guys. They fell their ass with asses over elbows in that thing, yeah.
And you want them seriously hurt?
I don't want them seriously hurt, but I want these people to get the message. Sit down and shut up and put your belt on.
Man, Art.
I know. It's a cruel world.
All right. Art Griego is with us. Hold on. He'll be back. He is a former commercial pilot, and he says the number one reason why most people are dying in air disasters isn't because of bad wiring. It isn't because of cargo doors. It isn't because of anything. It's because they're standing up or they're getting out of their seat when the seatbelt line is lit, and especially when they're going to the gate and they're getting ready to dock at the gate, and he hasn't turned the seatbelt light off. People stand up to get their luggage out, and he'll goose the engine. He'll gun it just another couple of RPM so that people go butt overhead into the aisle. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Art, you are in a plane right now, correct?
That is correct, Phil. That is a stall indicator that you're hearing right now, Phil. And that means that the plane has gone into a stall. Now, I can bring the plane back out of the stall, but I have done that on private planes. When people stand up, when they start screwing around back there, or they start to get me angry, I can put the plane into a stall.
So you put the plane into a stall. Why?
That'll get them. That'll sit them down. See that? Nothing like, you know, you hear that sound and you get back in your seat. And I will tell them, sit down and stay down. Okay?
Well, isn't that thing originally for pilots so that you know?
Yeah, it's a warning. It's a stall indicator for pilots. But on a small plane, people can hear that. And when people hear that, let me tell you something. They get their rear ends back in the seat. Nothing makes me angrier than somebody who got out of a seat after I put on the seat. I go, oh, look at that. Yeah. You got the seatbelt back on now, don't you? See that?
Hey, Art, I want to ask you something, man. Is it's not safe for you to be doing that, is it?
No, Phil, I'm an experienced pilot, and putting a plane into a purposeful stall is something that experienced pilots know how to do.
All right, so because I don't want you getting into any problems.
No, we're fine.
All right.
Hold on, Roger.
Okay, here is Cerritos on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
How you doing?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I don't think that really whether or not those people got up and went to look for a book or anything else made any difference. I think the fact that the plane hit the water or the ground at Mach 1 is what's killing those people when the plane crashes.
Okay. Let me ask a question. Did you double screen this guy already? Okay. Here is Portland on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Portland, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm with the last call.
What's that, sir?
When the seatbelt light is still on, I think it's when it hits the water, you know, all 250 out of 251 are dying, not because they're standing up for the seatbelt.
Well, what do you do for a living? What do you do for a living?
I'm a contractor.
Okay, so you don't fly for a living?
No, I don't, and I think I could do a better job than this fellow. Uh-huh. He sounds like he's certifiable, I think, with psychological testing on these pilots.
People who
get up and be acting like this guy definitely needs a psychological test.
No, sir, people who get up without putting their seatbelts on, in other words, when they get up prior to having the seatbelt light turn off, they're endangering their lives and the lives of many people around them.
What do you do to somebody in your car that doesn't put their seatbelt on? Do you slap them around?
Well, I'll tell you what, that's against the law. Everybody's supposed to be belted in. I don't know how it is up there in Portland, but in California, it's the law. You have to have a seatbelt on.
I'll tell you what you're talking about.
Unless you like to pay a $75. If you like to pay a $75 ticket.
All right, both of you guys, shut up. One guy,
shut
up, you dumbass. Yeah, up in Oregon. Hey, you know what? I saw a guy with Oregon plates the other day, man. You know what I did? I let all the air out of his freaking tires.
I got it.
See you later, dumbass. All right. What we're talking about here is, and the guy made a point in between all of his Oregon bullcrap. The fact is that people who don't put a belt on in your car, people who don't put a belt on in the automobile, what do you do? Do you stall the car then?
Well, as I said to the guys, I try to let them know. It is against the law to drive a car without people being belted in the state of California. I don't know what it's like up in Oregon. They probably, have their own laws. But, you know, since they don't like to be anything like Californians, they probably let kids fly through windshields up there. What I would say, though, is...
All right, you don't have to get down on it.
Well, you said that you let air out of their tires.
The only thing about Oregon, man, if you're from California and go to Oregon, and you...
Well, I know.
Now, but let me just finish. If you're from California, you go to Oregon, they see a California plate, they sometimes vandalize your car. So I've taken to doing the same thing with people with Oregon plates down here. Nothing serious, just letting air out of their tire, taking the distributor cap. It's just a little bit of fun.
You really have.
Yeah, maybe I have, maybe I haven't. What's it to you?
Because because I've got Oregon plates in my truck.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, the point being, Phil, that if you get up out of your seat and the car and the plane goes into a stall, you know, I'm going to do it right now. So somebody has just stood up and they've taken off their seatbelt. Here's what happens. I've stalled the engine, Phil. Watch.
He's going to.
You're gonna sit down now, put your belt on? Yeah.
Oh, come on. That is, to me, that sounds a little juvenile. Here is Sioux City on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Phil. Hello, Phil.
Go ahead.
Sioux City, Iowa.
Go ahead.
Commercial airline pilot and Vietnam veteran. 35 years flying these.
Really?
Days.
What color are your ribbons?
You don't put a goddamn.
What color are your ribbons?
Let's go down to the basement. We'll look at them.
You mean you don't know what color the ribbons were that you got when you left Vietnam?
Red, white, and blue.
Okay, pal. So you're another wannabe, right? See you later. All right. We're really doing a good job with these Vietnam vets.
Tell you what are you doing?
Well, a lot of these guys that call up and claim to be Vietnam veterans, and they're not, you know, really tighten my jaws up. Okay, let's get back to...
You know, you really need to relax.
No, you're the guy that needs to relax. You're stalling the plane when somebody is going out, you know, getting up, trying to get themselves a Milky Way out of the overhead bin.
You mean like this?
Yeah, just turn the engine back on.
Phil, I will tell you, as a pilot, the number one problem we have... are people who get up out of their seats before I've turned off the seatbelt line. And that really makes me angry. And a lot of these women who are trying to put their face on, they're going to get their faces taken off. It's as simple as that.
Well, I've seen people on commercial aircraft get up and try to get to their bags before the seatbelt light is turned off. And I know that it's dangerous. I don't know about the how ethical it is for you to gun the engine.
Hey, what's wrong with it?
Because you could hurt somebody.
They're hurting themselves. By putting themselves in that position.
All right. We were talking with Art Griego here about air safety and that what really causes air fatalities in air disasters, and that is the fact that people are getting up prior to their seatbelt sign, the seatbelt light being turned off, they're getting up. And you said that with that Alaska air jet going into the Pacific Ocean, most of the people were standing in line waiting for the can.
Absolutely. And
well, I don't know how you stand in line waiting for the lavatory when the plane's going 700 miles an hour straight down.
I don't either, Phil. And I am responsible for the safety of my passengers. If it means I need to scare the crap out of someone in order to save a life, I'm happy to do that. Like this. I'd be very happy to do that. I don't know how they're doing.
Well, it's physically impossible for somebody to be standing in line for the lavatory. And what do you mean they're asking for a drink?
There have been people... the Canary Islands jets that collided, they knew they were going to die. They knew they were going to hit that other jet. They were traveling at an excessive rate of speed, and the guy says, can I have another white wine? I don't know what it is. I think they just go nuts. I think that they just realize that things are a problem up there or whatever. So as far as I'm concerned, that is the number one problem.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We'll maybe get back to Art. He's a commercial pilot. He flies, used to fly commercially. Now he's flying privately. And we're talking about people who are getting out of their seats before the seatbelt lights get turned off. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show. Don't forget, on Saturday, November the 4th at 7 p.m., it is Casino Night 2000. Starts at 7 o'clock at the Museum of Flying at the Santa Monica Airport, conveniently located just south of the 10th Freeway at the east end of Santa Monica. All the proceeds allow my friend's place to provide meals, a safe place to be, and offer programs to assist young people. Tickets are $250 per person and can be purchased by calling my friend's place Casino Night 2000 coordinator, Lisbeth Faust, 323-908-0011, extension 102, or mailing a check to Post Office Box 3867, Hollywood, California 90078. That's Post Office Box 3867, Hollywood, California 90078. And we'll see you there on November the 4th. That again starts at 7 o'clock, Casino Night 2000. Phil Henry Show and My Friend's Place present Dwight Yoakam. 1-800-449-8686. previously on the Phil Hendry Show.
We are attempting to pray to Jesus so that he will intercede and melt the witch or somehow set her on fire.
Really? Mm-hmm. Now, see, that's exactly what you're saying a witch would do.
No. Witches, you can melt.
No.
We want to save the children before the witch turns them into full goblins. Right now, we are very afraid that the children
How old are your children?
No, we're talking about their children.
Well, what are her children's names?
Casey and Stuart. And Casey, oh, God, I have palpitations. I don't know how old you are, but I have very serious...
I'm a lot older than you are,
mm-hmm,
I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. I have a very serious heart palpitation.
And why do you put yourself through all this when you could just mind your own business?
Because right now we are afraid that Casey and Stuart are in a half-goblin state.
Oh, come on, lady. Get off it.
Ma'am, you don't know what we saw.
People who practice magic
would
wind you up and spin your top.
Ma'am, you don't know what we saw over there. We saw herbs, and we saw candles all lit up, and a goblin.
Have you not seen an advertisement on TV for a bathroom, and they're full of candles? And the woman's getting into a bathtub. She's not a witch. She's an advertisement.
How come she has so many brooms? Okay. That's one question.
Come on.
And what about the cauldron to mix up the potions?
Right now,
I don't think they've done that for about 150 years.
Right now, what we're talking about is the well-being of children. They have two children who are now metamorphosizing into full goblin state.
And they go to school.
Yes, they do go to school.
And in their school notices that they're different.
The full goblin state manifests
itself. I think you are psychotic, lady. Absolutely psychotic. Lifting crap under people's nose. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't act like this. You wouldn't even be... You're not even a decent neighbor.
I am trying to
If you've
to
got
save...
a gripe with her, you ought to go over and say
lady,
something.
We're trying to save two children's lives from being full goblin.
Oh, come on. Do you honestly believe this? You're a grown man.
No,
do you honestly believe this, or do you put this lady on for fun?
Ma'am, this is my wife that you're talking about, all right?
Steve, we need to either talk to Bobby or you, not both of you, okay?
All right, Bobby, go ahead.
We believe that the only skin that turns green is the skin under their clothes, so that the school does not yet recognize the full goblin-esque manifestation.
All right, so you're saying the kids have turned goblin only under their clothes?
At this present time,
they don't wear gloves to school.
That's true.
They don't wear hats to school, and they don't wear masks.
No, their faces are normal, but the hands have changed. They have goblin hands, and no one will recognize it. Now, as a believer in Jesus Christ...
Well, why don't you call the police and have them arrested?
The police can't arrest you just for being a goblin. There's nothing...
Wait a minute. Wouldn't the police at least inform the hospital?
They're not going to arrest them for being goblins. It's the law.
No, but they might arrest you for being so nosy.
Oh, I see. So I get arrested, and goblins start popping up in everyone's neighborhood.
Lady, I think you are definitely psychotic.
No, I think you're psychotic because you don't believe in the ghoul.
You're making your own, not somebody else is making it for you.
No, you are the one who is wrong because you don't believe in the ghoul or the goblin or the gremlin. What about those? What about gremlins?
Why are you so...
All right, I've got to stop this right now.
I appreciate your time.
Oh, you don't want
Take
me to get
care.
The truth out about goblins?
Bye.
Jesus has opened our eyes, and we've seen the goblin state. To everyone else, children, they're...
...desk. By using the cheeks of Israel...
Oh, would you please get off of that?
I will tell you, sir... that I defended...
Well, this guy was he fought with MacArthur in World War II. Your Korean War enterprise is wonderful, but this man's also a war veteran.
I will tell you, I know of a girl who shoved books up there.
Books. That's so sick. And mostly at odds with the ACLU.
Yes,
but
sir.
By God, if they're pushing you... You deserve it. The ACLU should have a flag raised.
Are you saying, as a war veteran, you support the ACLU? Holy Jesus.
In this instance against you, you sick person?
Hey.
Yes.
Okay, so you want to see kids put whole sets of encyclopedias right up their rear ends and
what are you? Why are you so obsessed with that?
Yeah, there is an obsession going on here. And
who's speaking right now?
The host of the show.
Why don't you keep your mouth shut? because I'm talking to this guy. It's between him and me now.
No, it's not between you and me.
Let me ask you a question. Were you in the Bataan Death March?
No, I enlisted when I was 17 in 1943.
Well,
I went through Saipan, Guam, Tinian, Leyte, and finally we were torpedoed at wherever it was, Lingayen Gulf. But that is beside the point.
Leyte,
today is
that was
today.
A
That's
sticks.
All past history. And your wonderful Korean veteranism is a pain in the butt.
In the butt, you were going to say.
No,
I care. The only pain in the butt
that.
Is the one the kids got from carrot encyclopedias up there.
What?
And
are you crazy?
Maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm not. But I'll tell you one thing that won't happen in our high schools. Espionage, wire fraud.
Espionage?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Would you get real?
You were in the Pasadena school system in the 1940s.
You betcha.
You know how many fifth columnists and quislings were in the Pasadena school
no,
system?
No, but I took one of my best friends out to Santa Anita and locked him up because he happened to be a Japanese American.
What a nice guy you are.
No,
what
not
a
at all.
Crap.
I'm strictly an American.
Yeah, take a Japanese guy out there and lock him up.
No, a Japanese-American.
Would you know that there's a young lady in the Alhambra School District that smuggled a Japanese guy in the crack of her rear...
Okay, that's it. The guy's out of his freaking mind.
Nonsense. What kind of dialogue is that?
I don't know. He's nuts.
This is the first time I ever heard your program because my TV is off.
Sorry.
My God.
I apologize.
No,
I feel like I have to. I feel on some level I should because you're a fine gentleman. You fought for our country, and here's a guy.
So what? That's all.
Well, that's true.
History.
I know, but I just want to give you. Yeah, that's true.
These kids. Hey, it all starts with a dress code.
I don't know what's happened to me. My old pa took sick to the bed last Tuesday, and
mothers and fathers let their kids go to school looking like hobos and bums.
We're trying to get our backyard in shape, you know.
I tell you,
my wife's not well.
My wife just flew on Canadian Airlines.
Oh, really?
And they have a dress code to go aboard a Canadian airliner.
I was in Catalina last weekend.
That's beautiful.
It's a great thing. Catalina?
I don't know what it was. She went
to Montreal. Oh, I thought she went to... Montreal's,
no.
Is that Catalina? I don't know.
No, Canadian Airlines. She
flies
went to Montreal.
Where? Where does that fly to?
Montreal.
Oh, just to Montreal. Okay.
Well, no, that. But she had to have a certain dress code to go aboard Canadian Airlines.
I just fought my way off of hold.
I thought I put this guy on hold.
Well, I fought my way off.
Fought your way off?
I'll tell you, I had to do. You know what? You know what? While I was on hold, I found a slide rule in my ass.
Okay, that's...
Oh, well, good God.
You'll be hearing those on future Phil Henry Show CDs. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show. I got nothing against vets. I don't want wannabe vets calling up here. I ask you what ribbons you got when you left Vietnam. You better be ready to tell me. Otherwise, you're off the air, okay? Some guy calls back and says, Henry doesn't like vets. It's got nothing to do with veterans. I honor veterans as much as the rest of us. But don't you be calling up here and pretending like you're a Vietnam vet. Because you guys and that bullcrap living your little fantasy life with your little khaki jackets and you go down to the Army surplus and you imagine that you had some life in Vietnam when in point of fact you didn't. You need a nut house, okay? You belong in a nut house, in a straitjacket. Not a VA, but a hospital, but, you know, some kind of a hospital. Because when I say to you, what ribbons did they give you when you left Vietnam, every vet knows. And if you don't, then in my book, you're not a Vietnam vet. You're a wannabe, you're just a jive ass, and you're gone. You're not getting on the air. Got all these guys that, claiming are Vietnam vets. That's fine. You just sort of, you dishonor the guys that really were. So I don't want to talk to you. Now, if you didn't know and you really are, then, you know what, tough luck. So that guy calls back and says, what do I got against veterans? I got nothing against veterans. I got something against guys that claim to be veterans who aren't. You guys are weird. You belong in a straitjacket or something, okay? Now, as far as air turbulence goes and sitting down, I always have my seatbelt on. I never stand up when the seatbelt light is lit, except to go to the lavatory, or as they say on some airlines, the lavatory. But I'm getting real tired of having to flag the stewardess down, or excuse me, flight attendant, when I want another drink. That's why I fly first class, so as they'll come around every 3 seconds and ask me, Mr. Hendry, one more straight tequila, sir? I really don't fly first class because I can't afford it, but sometimes my wife is able to finagle a deal. Sometimes we get upgraded, we get bumped up. What do you got, Mike?
You want a song?
What song is that?
Outshine.
Who is it? Soundgarden? You want me to play that crap? That cool. Soundgarden crap?
Too.
Okay.
If you need a song.
Yeah, I do need a song. Okay. I'm so depressed. I need music in my life. So I'm flying one day to wherever the hell it was, but I know that I had to go over Iceland, and it must have been Europe that we were going to. And I'm already not having a good flight because I'm way in the back of the plane. There's only about maybe 3 rows behind me. And it's sold out, and it's lots of people. And so I said, this is really a drag, man. Well, this fat lady was sitting next to me, and she says, well, if you need to sleep, because I know you can't bend your seat back too far because my seat was busted, she says, you can sleep on me. Now, I've heard of the song Lean On Me. I've heard of a lot of things, but I never heard of anybody saying, sleep on me when you are... Yeah, that's what she said. It's a big fat lady, so she leaned over to go to sleep because she had an open seat next to her, and I leaned over and I slept on top of her. There was nothing sexual about it. It was just I was sleeping on a big fat lady, a very nice fat lady who offered me her big fat body to cushion me on my flight over there. But anyway, what wakes me up is we're going over Iceland and we hit this incredible turbulence. This was some heavyweight turbulence. It's the kind of turbulence, you've heard it, where the steward, the flight attendant will say, wherever you are, find an open seat. Not go back to your seat. Find an open seat anywhere and get into that open seat. Get into the open seat, buckle up. That was how heavy this turbulence was. The plane was dropping 1,000 feet and going up and bouncing around and everything. And the flight attendant's going, ladies and gentlemen, return to your seats. Just find any open seat. And the flight attendants are buckling themselves in, and then the cabin lights are dimming and coming back on. And all the while I'm thinking, this is bad, but I've never really heard of a plane crashing because of turbulence. Although I'm sure if I put the call out there to my listeners, I'd have millions and millions of bright, shiny, happy faces calling, going, I know of a time a plane crashed from turbulence. Not that I'd believe any of you. That's why we're not taking phone calls. We're just going to let it sit in the air that no plane has ever crashed from turbulence. And so this thing is going up and down and all over the place, and please find your seat immediately. And I'm sitting there. Was I praying? I might have said a little tiny prayer, you know. And then the turbulent plane, everything, and the land, and finally it smooths out after about a minute. The turbulence ends, and you know that feeling you get when the plane kind of just starts to glide along real smooth. You're like, whew, man, you know. Ooh, everybody sort of starts to chill out, and all of a sudden, with the plane dead silent, from the back of the plane, I hear this voice go, Scotch. Just one little voice back there. Yo, Scotch. Guy wanted Scotch, and who can blame him? And I, this was in the days when you could smoke on aircraft, so I went back, and people are smoking cigarettes. I said, Jesus, was that you? He says, you better it was me. I said, did you get your Scotch? Yep, I got a double. I said, you got any left? He said, maybe. So the moral of the story is planes don't crash because of turbulence, and they do serve Scotch. On British Caledonian. Are you crying?
I have been vilified by her.
What? He's crying?
Okay.
Oh, my God.
You know, you
go
have
ahead.
No
where
sensitivity.
Did you get this guy?
You don't have any sensitivity. You don't care about anyone?
Where did you get this guy?
He's a caller. It's an open
you
line.
You are kidding me.
You don't care about anyone.
I can't believe this man. He's crying on a nuts radio show. And what is he crying for? He's making no sense. sense. Are you sure this isn't it?
Will you listen to this guy? Mike, you better get this guy under control, okay?
No, I'm fine. I want to tell this lady something. Your kids could just as easily bludgeon their siblings in the backyard as the living room, okay?
Oh,
so
my
you
God.
Don't want them bouncing a ball in the house. What happens if they beat each other to death in the backyard?
Yes. Okay, I think, Mr. Bozell, you have been too close to some kind of incident like that because there's no reason a grown man is crying over a what if.
No, I'm crying because you will not give me the decency of being a good father.
You know something, Mr. Bozell?
What?
You know, you're a man. This is kind of uncomfortable for a man to cry.
So my therapist said it's fine to cry to let your feelings out.
Okay, so you are seeking therapy. Yes, I could see.
Okay,
you
is there something wrong with that? Millions of Americans do it all the time.
No, nothing wrong with it. But if you can call a radio show and be so strong in your conviction that lawsuits should be that frivolous, and then yet turn around 5 minutes later and cry because you're hurt, you're making no sense. No wonder you're in therapy. I'm sorry, but I have to say that.
Oh, my God. No, this guy. I want him on hold, and I want this guy put under control right away.
You cannot put me on hold.
If it's an act, are you calling in, Mr. Bozell? I asked you once before. Did somebody put you up to this?
I tell you right now that the thought of my son bludgeoning my daughter to death makes me sick. And I'm a parent who cares, and I wish to God there were more parents who care about what happened to John Bezerra.
Well, what should scare you is that you even have those thoughts in your head. I don't even look at my children and even think that way, and there is where you are wrong, sir. And that's why you aren't taking that far of a leap from the Ramsey case.
You should be nicer to people.
Oh, my word. You have cut everybody off who has called in. Don't tell me I should be nicer when you won't even give people the benefit of saying their piece. And now you're crying because somebody is making sense.
Because you feel the need to raise your voice.
Mr. Henry, am I making sense?
I think you're making sense. What is your problem, Mr. Bozell?
Can I have a moment to say it?
Go ahead and get a grip on yourself, will you? Would you get a grip on yourself?
I can't believe he's crying. I cannot
believe. So in other words, women can cry, but men can't, right? That's your world. That's your world.
Talk radio show. What would?
That's your world, huh? A woman can cry, but a man can't.
You really have to get a grip, dude, because I've got I got you on the air. The woman wants an answer.
She's being mean, and I want you to make her stop.
I don't think she's being mean. I think she's being pointed in her comments.
Now she's laughing. Now, okay, there you go. Now,
him to make me stop? Oh, my God, you sound like you're 9 years old. Give me a break.
It pisses me off.
Well, buddy, I mean, you can get angry.
What?
You can get angry, but that's your right. But she's making points that are valid, they're pointed, and she's entitled to her emotion, too. If you're bawling, she gets to be angry, okay? See, those are two emotions. Frankly, it's kind of refreshing hearing a woman being angry and a guy crying.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, what a twist.
Oh, he just hung up.